Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 40. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. This is referring back to Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a certain man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city, and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." And so, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he arose and went. And behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, the court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And Philip had run up. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this Scripture he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea.
Good to see everyone this morning. Always such a scary time for me when I get up here. You know, we go to a lot of churches, but they're small churches. You know, they're usually about half a dozen people, four fall asleep, and my wife and one other person stay awake during the service. Not quite. Some of you said, boy, you look lost a lot of weight. You look good. Well, in my case, it's a necessity. December 4th was really a turning point in our lives. I'm one of those guys who never goes to the doctor. I like to just gut it out myself. And, you know, whatever it is that I have, I can do it myself. But I had a cyst on my neck that kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then December 4th, day before my birthday, I had made an appointment with the doctor ahead of time to take care of the cyst. But when I went down to have the cyst taken care of, they took my blood pressure. That's what they do nowadays. They take your blood pressure first, and then they hand you the bill afterwards. But she took my blood pressure and found out that it was 240 over 140. Yeah. Anybody that knows anything about blood pressure knows that that's death. And I had had no symptoms, no weakness, no blurry eyes, no heart palpitations, nothing like that. And since then, we've had medication. We've learned to like asparagus without butter and salt on it. And we've trimmed down a little bit, brought the blood pressure down now to maybe 118 over 62. Cholesterol's down. Yeah, thank you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that does that. That's amazing how He does that in a life. I should be dead. But here I stand here this morning, and I'm able to bring God's Word to you. Pretty exciting, I'll tell you. But it's not over with yet. My heart doctor called the other day. Well, not the other day. She called probably a month or so ago. And she said, I want to tell you, you're doing so good. And I said, am I still good for another 100,000 miles? And she said, yeah, as long as you change the oil. I thought that was pretty cool. Chapter 8 of Acts. Book of Acts goes on and on. Exciting times, aren't they? In my notes, I wrote down two portions we need to consider. And then I scratched that out and I said, no, that's not right. And then I put two verses we need to consider. And then finally I wrote two themes that we need to consider when we look in the book of Acts. This is a continuous two themes that keep coming up. One is from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the great commission that Jesus gave. Remember that? Jesus came and He spoke unto His disciples and said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That goes on through the book of Acts. And then Acts 1:8 as well. Jesus is speaking just before He's taken up into heaven, and He says basically that you are My disciples to carry on My work while you're here. I'm going to be gone, but the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to carry on My work while I'm gone. Evangelize the whole world. Still alive, still active. There are 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but guess what? You and I are working in chapter 29. These things are taking place right in our own lifetime. It's still going on. By the way, did we hear anything from the group in Haiti? Nothing? Nothing yet? Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, there's some news on a missionary wall, Barb? Is that what you said? Okay. Good. Okay, here's the outline of the first half of chapter 8 for those who take notes. Bev and I find that taking notes is good for us. If you take notes, good for you. If you're not taking notes, consider doing that. I think it'll add more to the service. Not because I'm up here, but because whoever is here usually will say something that's worth listening to. Okay, outline of the first half of chapter 8, the persecution of the church, verses 1 through 3. The proclamation of the message, verses 4 through 8. The professions of faith, verses 9 through 13. The proof of the work, verses 14 through 17. The perversion of the truth, 18 through 24. And then the promotion of the work, verse 25, the first half of the chapter. Verses 1 through 3, the persecution of the church. And the scripture says that Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Saul, you know, we can read ahead. We know what's going to happen. We can look ahead and tell Saul, chapter 9 is going to be a turning point in your life. In fact, it's going to be such a turning point that you're going to make a 180-degree turn from where you are now to where you're going to be, going toward the Lord Jesus Christ and not away from Him. You're even going to get a name change. They're going to call you Paul instead of Saul. But now, Saul is the Osama bin Laden of his day, was dragging off believers, men and women, and throwing them in prison. He delighted in that. But the change is coming. And then the proclamation of the message in verses 4 through 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Isn't it amazing that in persecution, God's work goes on even in a greater sense? There's that urgent need to get God's word out there when things are bad. One of the privileges Bev and I had, I don't know if we told you this story or not, but not that long ago, we had someone we met from the underground church in China. Now, that was exciting. And she didn't talk any English. But her daughter, who's been in the United States here, did talk some English. And I said, can I see that Bible? And she showed me her Chinese Bible that Mom had. And I said, can you show me John 3:16 there? And she took it, and the characters all come down like this. And she had it underlined. Even in the Chinese Bible, she still had a circle around that area of the Chinese Bible. And I thought, imagine that. Someone from China, someone from the United States, someone from Haiti, someone from Nepal, they believe in the same God you and I do, and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't matter what language it's in. It's still faith in Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Well, when persecution came, great blessing is a message of gospel goes farther and farther out. Stephen is gone, but the Holy Spirit raises up Philip and others to carry on the work. The Church of Jesus Christ is never lacking in leadership if we listen and follow the Spirit's leading. And the Bible says in verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. See, joy comes when Jesus Christ is exalted. In your life and in my life. We can't help but be out there and give people what we have and see them joy in the same joy you and I have. The joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Know that your sins are forgiven. Know that you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ being proclaimed in your city today? You say, I don't live in a city. I live in a village. I live in a country. But is Jesus Christ being proclaimed where you live, wherever that might be? We live in Adams. Is the gospel being proclaimed in Adams? I hope it is. I hope you're doing your part where you are. It may be small. You may seemingly be insignificant, what you're doing. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ has you there for a purpose. Don't forget that. Is Jesus Christ being proclaimed in your city, my city? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In a life which I now live in the flesh, humanly speaking, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that your theme? Is that your motto? I think I'd like that on my tombstone, by the way, hon, when that time comes. I was close, but not yet. You and I carry the name of Jesus Christ no matter where you go. In fact, John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and what's the rest of it? It will set you free. Yes. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Yeah. You'll be very free in Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on. The professions of faith, verses 9 through 13. Always in God's work, there's always a but, isn't there? And my version of the Bible, which is a Scofield Reference Bible, says, but there was a certain man called Simon, who previously in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. There's always a but in God's work. No matter how good the work comes, there's always going to be opposition. Because we're dealing with sinful people. You and I are sinners by sometimes by heart, but sometimes by choice as well. In fact, people said to him in verse 10, this man is the great power of God. Simon was his own publicity director and all attested to it. We don't have Sky Angel television anymore. It faded out with the new system that came in, but we used to watch some of the shows on there. It's amazing how many people love the glitz and the glamour of some of the things that went on. It was like being in some kind of Hollywood production, I guess. You know, we love the glitz. We love the glamour. The showiness. We're enamored by bright lights, flashy styles, quick talkers. In fact, Simon was that kind of a magician, empowered by demons to do the work that he did. Wow. He was counterfeiting the work of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't God's work. That was the devil's work that he was doing. Let's be careful about who we follow. Let's make sure that it's biblical. Let's make sure that the person or the group that we're following believes the things that God has written in His Word. Simon professed faith in Christ. That's what verse 13 says. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I just wrote a couple of things as a digression from the message, but I think it's important. Please listen to these. Superstitious people will always find someone or something to worship other than Jesus Christ, and Satan will help them do it. The thief of our souls come to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus comes to give abundant life. John 10:10. So true, isn't it? He's come to give us new life, real life. Also, remember this. The enemy will create a situation for us and then wait for our carnal response. Remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Remember that situation? She was after him every day. Come on, let's have sex together. He'd pull away, pull away. Finally, one day there was nobody in the house, and she grabbed him and said, come with me now. He took off, left his garment in her hand. What did he end up? Doing good, he ended up in jail, right? Yeah. You know what Joseph's life response after that in 1520, after his brothers had done him in, after he had gone to prison, after he had faced hardship after hardship after hardship? This was Joseph's response in Genesis 50, verse 20. Listen to these verses. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Yeah. What a life response that is. After all is said and done, after all the roads I've gone down that ended up in dead ends, Joseph finally could say, God meant it for good. Can you say that in your life? My life? That's amazing faith. And then the proof of the work, verses 14 through 17. Let's take a look at that section, the proof of the work. The Bible says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. At conversion, you and I receive the fullness of God's Holy Spirit when we trusted Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength, didn't we? Yeah. We got the full power of the Holy Spirit, all of Him, for all time. Ephesians 1:3 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You and I were sealed by God's Holy Spirit once for all time. We don't have to search out for anything else. We have the fullness of God's Holy Spirit who dwells in each one of us if we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. Ephesians 4:30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." You and I are kept sealed by God's Holy Spirit until that day He finally takes us, either through the rapture or we die. Believe that, because it's true. We're saved once for all eternity. You don't have to go out stretching out and saying, I don't know if the Holy Spirit is with me. I can't feel Him working. We don't have to feel Him. God's Word says we can know that He dwells within each one of us who have trusted Him. By the laying on of hands, Peter and John authenticated two things. It welcomed the Samaritans into the fold, and it confirmed Philip's ministry among them that by the Spirit all were members of the same flock, the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't matter who you are, where you're living, what your station in life is. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have the same assurance, the same God that people are worshiping all over the world. He lives in us. And then there's the perversion of the truth in verses 18 through 24. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hand, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." That's amazing. When we're going on the road, we usually bring an object lesson with us. And we have a gift I have for you this morning. My wife was nice enough to wrap this. But I'd like to give this to you this morning. It's a gift. There's no one who wants to refuse a gift. There's only one thing wrong with this gift. You have to pay me money for this. You have to give me a lot of money. I'm not going to give this to you for free. And you say, what kind of a gift is that? Well, that's not a gift. That's working for something that's supposed to be a gift, and you don't get the gift unless you pay for it. And that's basically what Simon was saying. He's saying, "I want to pay for this gift. I don't care what it costs. I want the gift." Is that the way we get the Holy Spirit? Of course not. We know that. He comes to us as a free gift from God Himself. His Holy Spirit comes to us as we trust in Jesus Christ. That's right. Amen indeed. We can't buy a gift. It's impossible to buy that kind of a gift. Peter told him to repent and pray in verse 22. Let's take a look at that. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Peter told him to repent and pray. Did he? Well, we don't know. I checked this out. By the way, it took me such a long time to put this message together. And in fact, it wasn't coming during the week. I had such a tough time with this. Finally, I called my son, my 32-year-old son. And he works, he's a church worker, and he works with the youth down in Lynchburg, Virginia, in his church. I said, "Mike, I'm stuck on Acts 8. I'm having such a hard time with it." He said, "Dad, I taught on that a couple weeks ago. Let me get my notes. I'll call you back." I said, "Cool. I can use all the help I can get." Even from my 32-year-old son. We called back and he gave me some notes and he gave me some information that he had gotten. And I said, "Mike, that is really good." And I thought to myself, here's a kid a few years ago that didn't know his left hand from his right hand, spiritually speaking. And all of a sudden, he's given me, his father, this information that I can use. You know what I said? Praise God, I'm willing to take it. Oh, my goodness. The Greek word for believe, in this case, is pistuo. Pistuo means not necessarily saving faith. James 2:19 says, you believe in God, that's a good thing that you believe in God. The demons also believe. They pistuo and they shudder. Are they saved? Are the demons saved? Of course not. Are they going to be saved? No. But it's hard to know if Simon was saved or not. I don't know if he professed faith in Christ or not. Profession has to be a possession, not just a belief, but it has to be a holding on and a doing of what God is working in you. And then a promotion of the work in verse 25. The work goes on. When they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. The work goes on, regardless of those who may try to shut it down, who may try to do something to stop the work, it still goes on anyway. One village at a time, one person at a time. And remember, fulfillment of Matthew 28, those last few verses, and Acts 1:8. That's the constant theme of the book of Acts. It goes on and on and on. Let's move along. Verses 26 through 40. Philip and the Ethiopian treasurer. Verse 26 is the command. Verses 27 through 30, the contact. Verses 31 through 35, the conversion. And verses 36 through 40, the consequences. Let's look at verse 26, the command. And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I don't know if the Holy Spirit spoke in an audible voice. I didn't check out the Greek for spoke, but if you know what it is, please let me know. Go to the desert? Enemy territory? That's, Lord, you know, you can almost see Philip thinking, man, we're having such a great time in Samaria here. There are dozens being saved. And Lord, you want me to go out to the desert? Down to Gaza? Down where the Philistines are? You want me to go down there and preach? Go, that's it. And Philip, as amazing as it is, never questioned. He just got up and he went. Boy, oh boy. Oh, for a church like that, huh? Where people just are motivated by God's Holy Spirit. He speaks and you and I get up and we just go out the door. Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to go out there and do it. Wow. That's cool stuff. Let me say this. God may take us from what we consider a successful ministry numerically and place us where He can better use us and mature us, even in an obscure way. That's why people get motivated and get up and go to Haiti. You're not even known in Haiti. Our son went to Nepal not too long. He wasn't known in Nepal. That's why people do these things. God may take us from a successful numerical ministry and place us where He can better use us and mature us, even in obscurity. How we need to learn God's voice through acts of obedience. Go to the desert. May not be. When I look back on Paul's life, realize how many times he was alone with God, sometimes way out there in the boonies besides. Where do we learn these things? We learn by listening to God's voice. How precious is one single soul in the sight of the Lord? Precious. Your soul and my soul. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, not once in a while, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready because God may give you an opportunity to share Christ." And how many times we've had opportunities and not done it. Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times. We go somewhere, you know, and we come back out of the store and I'll say to Bev, "Honey, I had a wonderful opportunity to witness to this gal or this guy, and I didn't do it." You and I do the same thing. Maybe it's easier for you. It's not easy for me. Then there's a contact, verses 27 through 30. "And he went and rose, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem, was worshiping, and was coming back home." How the importance of reading God's Word. Do you read God's Word on a regular basis? One of the treasures that we have had over the years is reading our daily bread. And if you're following the daily schedule of reading through the Bible in our daily bread, it starts in Acts 9 today. It ended with Acts 8 yesterday, in the last few days. So if you haven't done that, may I encourage you to do that? Man, the Bible will make more sense to you. You know, you don't have to start in the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy. You can start right here and then pick it up next year as well. Start today. Do it today. It makes the journey through life a lot more pleasurable, more rewarding. But here we see friendship evangelism. "A spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and join thyself to this chariot,'" verse 29. Be a friend. How important it is to smile. You know, sometimes we have such long faces. You know, we're carrying burdens on all sorts of things on our backs. But how important it is to smile. It can open up a door to minister. It can open up a door of witnessing for you and me. Just a smile. Someone has said, "Be winsome to win some." How true that is. And then the actual conversion, verses 31 through 35. Let's take a look at that. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand it. In verse 31, he said, "How can I accept some man should guide me? How can I understand what's being said unless someone helps me to find out what's going on in this?" Who's it talking about? Is it talking about the man who's writing this? Is it talking about someone else? "The place of the scripture which he read in verse 32, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? This is known as tailgate evangelism. Tailgate evangelism because the eunuch invited him to come up and sit in his chariot. I don't know what it is to sit in a chariot. Every time I've seen a chariot, like on Ben-Hur or something like that, you stand. But here they are sitting. They're having tailgate evangelism. Right there. How important it is to know God's Word, even on the spur of the moment. Yeah. Want to memorize Scripture? The best way to do it is for us to share our faith regularly when we will have to commit some verses to memory. If you and I are sharing our faith on a regular time, you and I are going to have to learn memory verses. You know, we may come across somebody in the store or somebody at work, somebody at school, whatever it might be, and on the spur of the moment, we're going to have to share a Bible verse. Where is it going to come from? "Well, wait until I go back and I get my King James Version Bible out and I'll be right back." No. We've got to have at least a few verses down. If not anything, John 3:16, to be able to do that. But if we share our faith regularly, we'll have those things right at hand. And what did Philip do in verse 35? Take a look at that. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He took what the man had from Isaiah 53, brought it right up to date to New Testament times, and showed him Jesus Christ, the ultimate. And then the consequences, verses 36 through 40. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Apparently, he knew enough to know that when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he needed to be baptized right then and there. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Isn't that not complicated, is it? It's very simple, as a matter of fact. All it takes is a heart that says, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I trust him now as my Lord and Savior." There's a pattern of salvation there in this whole thing. I wrote this down. The Holy Spirit leads. The Word of God reads. The man of God heeds. The sinner from sin recedes. And to God exceeds. God feeds. The penitent follows with good deeds. That's not a problem, is it? That's just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The eunuch got saved. Well, how do we know? First of all, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Simple statement of faith. And if you're here this morning and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can tell you that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sin, and you ask him into your heart to forgive your sin and make you new, he will do that. It's that simple. Number two, he was baptized in a New Testament way. Verse 38 says, "Here's water, let's go down and get baptized." And number three, the joy of the Lord became his strength. Verse 39 says, he went on his way rejoicing. Remember the day you got saved? Wasn't that exciting? Yeah, you're shaking your head. You say, "Yeah, I remember that." Never forget that day. Because there are people that don't know Jesus Christ that want that same joy and excitement that you had the moment you got saved. I don't care whether you've been in the Lord 40, 50, 60 years or 5 months. Still exciting even after all these years. And in verse 40, Philip continued his itinerant preaching. The work goes on. Chapter 29 of Acts is still being written. You and I have a lot of work to do until then, don't we, huh? Yeah. I hope you witness on a regular basis. And I don't mean you talk to somebody every day. But you know, sometimes we have a zillion excuses why we can't witness. I'm this, I'm that, I don't have this, I've never been to Bible school. We have a million excuses why we don't witness. Can we put that on the board? Can we do that now? Thanks, David. Wow, you put them on one at a time. I thought you were going to do them all at the same time, but that's good. Thank you very much. I made a list. This is my list, but you probably have a list as well. Why don't we witness? Well, one thing, we are too prone to sin. We have too many practice sessions in the same sin. We feel we're not worthy of witnessing because we keep falling into the same sin all the time. Number two, we'll zip right through these, David, if we could. We believe, but our unbelief hinders us. And number three, we fail to trust the Spirit, lack of biblical meditation. See how important it is to be in God's Word regularly, daily? Number four, we don't know or understand His workings. If we don't read the Bible, how can we understand God's workings? We need to be in God's Word. Go ahead. Too much of the world in us. We say, well, we're to be in the world, but not to be of it. Well, for the most part, even in my life, I'm too much of it and not apart from it. It becomes very important. Go ahead, number six. We aren't looking for opportunities to witness, even creating some. Our friends took us to 90. We love 99. They took us to 99 a couple weeks ago. I always carry a pocket full of tracts with me. And we make sure if we're going to eat somewhere, leave a good tip. You know, at least 15%. Don't leave a cheapo dollar with a track. That don't do that. You know, 15% at least. You leave a track with it. But our friends took us out, and I had a special kind of track that I can't even remember what it was. It was just a little card like that, and it had a dollar bills on the front or something. But on the back, if you turned it over, it said you can have all the money in the world, but unless you're saved, it won't mean a thing. And then it gave the plan of salvation on there, 1, 2, 3. And I left it there with the tip, and the gal, man, she went over somewhere, I guess, to put the money away, and she came back. She's so excited. She said, thank you very much for leaving that. I said, well, praise God, thank you. But don't forget the message. The tip is good, but don't forget the message. See, witness. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Let's go along. Is that what one we're on? Number 7, we're easily intimidated. We draw back defensively. We don't press on. Someone say, oh, you're one of those radical right-wing fundamentalists. Yeah, maybe I am, but I still love Jesus. And we need to press on, even when people shoot us down. Go ahead. Number 8, we're fearful of saying the wrong thing, or we say nothing. I don't know the Bible well enough. I know John 3:16. John 3:16 is enough. Use it. I'll use it. Go ahead. Number 9, we lack Christ's love. Do we really care? Do we really care about seeing people saved and going to heaven? Do we really care about that? Do we love like Christ loves? I hope we're growing that way. Go ahead. We don't realize God's power through a gospel tract or scriptural music. Scriptural music. Man, music with Bible words in them. How important that is. Go ahead. Number 11, the brevity of life. Life is short. I told you, I shouldn't be standing up here this morning. The least I should have had was a stroke. But I'm still here. God apparently is not done with me yet. We had one more, too, that's not on there. Just remember that I know some of you and all of us don't have opportunities to witness that much. But don't forget that your life is a living testimony of what God's grace is all about. Don't underestimate the quiet witness. You don't have to yell and shout. Sometimes just living a godly life before unbelievers, the opportunity will come when you may be able to share your faith with that person or with that group. One of the things I really felt about work is maybe I should have stayed a little bit longer to witness to a few more people. But you know something? Every time the pension check comes at the first of the month, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. But let's take that to heart. You know, I hope you remember some of those. Maybe some of those just triggered something in you. Say, yeah, man, I can't do that. Maybe we can't do all of them, but let's take one of those things. Take one of them. Maybe you lack Christ's love. Maybe you just are fearful. Maybe you're just intimidated easily. Take one of those. Work on it. I'll work on it as well. Really. Let's do it so we can be faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see people saved. We want to see people like the eunuch saved. You realize what that meant, by the way? Yes, the gospel has gone to Africa. Yeah. At first it started in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, the other side of the tracks, and now it's gone to Africa, to the uttermost part of the world. Where is it going to be next? We got a letter from Wycliffe not too long ago. You know what they want to do? They want to have every tribe in the world have at least the beginnings of what the gospel is by the year 2025. Wow. Every dialect going. You know how many dialects there are? Thousands. But they're working toward it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. Maybe we can't do everything, but we can do something. Maybe some of us are doing all we can. If we are, then praise God for that. Now, Lord, I know there's a great failings in my life. I see that list and I look at that and I say, yes. That's me. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I lack Christ's love. We don't want to be that kind of a people. We want to be a people that says Jesus Christ comes first, no matter what. So thank you, Lord. Help us to be better witnesses. Help us to remember that, like the Ethiopian eunuch, that we too need to go back to our place. He went back to Africa. I'm sure the gospel was proclaimed. May we go back to our Africa, whatever it might be, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that for myself first, and then for these others. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your blessed name. Amen.